I want to bring a good friend of mine, someone that has been a help, and bring him up and let him share a little bit. We didn't even know he was coming, and now he's here. We want to make room. Dr. Harold Lovelace. The first time I ever met Harold Lovelace, I said, can you explain about what's in this book? Sure, come sit with me. Let's go. He introduced me to everybody in there. And next thing I know, they had cameras on us, and I said, well, I was kind of freaked out. I was expecting, you know, what I'd been exposed to. And it wasn't right after that. I called him up, and he talked to me. And that's what I'm saying. The silence that says, I've made room for you. Yes. Here we go.
You do it well, brother. Give him a hand, huh? I got two helpers, and they know who they are. Come stand by me. Hey.
Hey.
And hello. In this meeting, they've asked you to think about or to talk about or discuss about things, whatever you believe or don't believe. It may be controversial, and I've heard the word controversial a lot today, that people are speaking in that realm. And you wonder, I mean, when a child comes into this world, oh, isn't that the cutest little thing? And then you see people's been married a few years or a lot of years, they're squabbling and ready for divorce. These two ladies, I ask them if they would come. Come over here closer to me, and I won't have to waddle back and forth between you two. They don't know what I want them to talk about, or answer questions about, or if they're going to talk or just stand here and smile. I asked them, would they come help me? Didn't they?
Good.
Right? Now, what you see a person, you see this tall person, middle, short, fat, skinny. But what's going on is what's inside in here in their thinking. No matter what their age is. There's a man in the book of Acts that talked about. He said, if you want me to be a judge between words or names, he said, you see to that, I will not be a judge in such manners and matters. And it's words that separate people, corporations, nations, everything. This lady evidently was born before this lady, so she's got a lot of history in her mind about life. She's just still in college, am I right?
High school.
Getting ready for college. And she's got some goals in mind. This one maybe has already accomplished some of her goals and got more goals she wants to accomplish. But this one tells me that she is interested in helping
children.
Pediatric nursing. Mm-hmm. She wants to help little children that are helpless, that's hurting. This lady here, pardon me, I don't know what your title is, but she is helping some of the most distraught people in their minds and in their emotions. Is that right?
Yes.
Now look, I mean, I'm right between a loving, sweet, little, cute little world of babies and all the way to here to grown people that she's talking about, but what's the difference in, imagine her now, hold your arm like you're holding a baby, and you hold like you're holding somebody that you're trying to help them. And you see, the baby here is crying. I told her a while ago how to keep a baby, make a baby not quit crying. She had never heard it. I won't tell y'all. You'll have to ask her how to do it. But when the baby is cute, it needs to be fed, it's screaming, it needs to be told something nice and cuddly. Action. This one here, how do these people treat you sometimes? What do they say to you?
Well, they have a diverse expansion of, you know, they're the most loving people. I mean, they just, as soon as they get upset, it's just as soon as they just love you. They don't even hold a, you know, they don't hold a grudge. It's just things happen to them and they can't help it.
But see, now her class is that way, and your class is, you got a little bottle, and that's what it's wet. It's got a bottle. But it's all going on what's going on up in here. In people, so all in life, we're dealing with people, and in church is the hardest level of people seemingly to deal with. In religion, I should better say. Religion is one of the meanest things in the world. I got 2 or 3 amens out of that. I mean, they're very mean. But God is so diverse. He'll take somebody like Joseph and give him a dream and tell him his parents and his brothers would go to bow down to him. And years goes by and he doesn't see any of them. Here, people's gone years by and they're ready for a divorce. But if they can talk and get a few comforting words from you, what happens? Do they change their mind?
Oh, yes. They're just loving. They just hug on you and kiss on you. And
are you giving them hope?
Yes. I talk to them about the Lord all the time. And they love it.
But they came in there upset.
Yep.
And the doctor, what you're saying gives them better than what medicine gives them.
It actually calms them down.
Words.
It does. It calms them.
The power of life and death is where?
The power of the tongue.
And yours is in cute little nice words. You've got it easy. And someday some girl that's getting ready to go to college will come and say to you, "You held me when I was a baby. Look here at my picture." But look at the difference in the worlds. You come home at night, maybe want to share with your husband, "Man, I had this first person today."
Mm-hmm. Look at me and call me everything, but... And I just look at her and love on her, and she calms down.
Now, does this sound like what life is going on in all of you? You get a phone call, you don't know what's going to happen, who's going to be on there next, what life is going to be like. Families are falling apart because of drugs, because of money, because of taxes, because in Georgia last year, I've got a lot of friends in Georgia, they had over 600 churches that went in foreclosure. And people have been putting their money in and whatever, but mishandling and whatever. Foreclosure, finances. They had an overhope and spent more money than they should have. Good people. But a lot of these ends up maybe in divorce after you've given them hope, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yours is wanting to get, the mother wants to get that baby and get home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does the daddy brag on the little girl or the little boy? Can't wait to get a football picture with him. Look at the difference in their two worlds. I thank you ladies for coming up and helping me out.
You're welcome.
I want you to see what your life is like. Because God does things like this. Joseph's brothers, they were so jealous because their dad, think the dad is God, wanted to help them out and to bless them. But Joseph couldn't. He did. Let me tell you about a dream. The brothers got jealous over the dream. Some of us, we hear things about God one way or the other, and it's not working out like we'd like to work it out. Joseph, a woman lies on him. He goes to prison. He can interpret dreams. The gift of God was still working in. But his outside circumstances, the kingdom that he was operating in, wasn't working out very fine. Joseph went for years and didn't hear anything. Finally, you know, I thought if this God is only good, that's from man's viewpoint. But God's viewpoint, he gave Pharaoh a dream. Now, isn't that something? Who would have thought God would have gave a future to a man like Pharaoh? Maybe you don't like some of the things you hear taught in church or in school or in society. We're in a world of change right now. Whether we like it or whether we don't. Some of you women remember hearing your mothers or whatever, and some of you may remember when women used to not vote. And they were put down as second class. Or they couldn't speak at a church, as has already been said. They were in a different category. Now women are taking jobs. Women are smart. Now women are in places in Congress or whatever, and run for president, moving up the ladder. Here are men are wondering. Here's men with common jobs that they don't have them. Here's this tussle going inside. I'm the man of the house, but what's going on in the nation? All of these things are happening, and yet God is in charge. He knows exactly what's going on, and like it was mentioned earlier today, this is the 400th year of King James Bible this year. This is also the week that the Catholics came out with a new Bible. This is also the week, this week, where a man in, that I haven't met him yet in Grand Rapids, Michigan, has printed a book called Love Wins. I mean, it's heard of that already. 1, 2, 3. We'll look for it. The changes that man is making some statements about. Well, God is doing some things. In fact, when I was at the Cryptus house of the night, spending the night before I came on up here, I was in a dream, and a man said, tell me about these things of God. How can you explain things of God? What should we do about it? And it came to me in that dream, and I woke up from my dream to write it down. It said, we need to answer in bold statements and in bold questions when answered and asked about God. I get different dreams. Sometimes I'm preaching in my dreams, but here I'm questioned about and asked what should happen. These bold statements and not back up from them. What's God like? God's ways are so different, yet He is, if He created both good and evil, yet He's working out His pleasure, but it's evil to man. I have a list here of all the different English words from the Old Testament, from the one word that they use for evil, adversity, affliction, bad, calamity, displeasure, evil, as used, of course, grief, harmony, heavy, hurt, ill-favored, duty. A great number of words from that. But see, people hide behind of evil and not look at the other expressions. So here's our God doing these things for man. But man is divided up in here. Here's the message. I mentioned this to someone the other day. I said, you know, the Bible says for them to beat their plowshares into swords. And not long after that, it says beat their swords in the plowshares. Well, that's just the opposite. Well, there's a lot of things in the Bible is the opposite. But if you pay attention when you're reading here, it was a time of war and the need to convert these gardening tools into fighting tools. But when the war gets over, you can reconvert them back so you'll have good tools again to do your gardens, your fields, whatever. Well, a lot of these things that God hides, it's in mysteries. Jesus was asked the question, why do you speak to the crowd in parables? He hid it so that they wouldn't hear it, understand it, and be healed. And yet, comes back with other things. Paul received, I've got a manuscript that I'm hope to finish up soon, called The Golden Thread. In it, I've already written down 100 mysteries that Paul wrote about. Some of them are really hidden. But his first major mystery to deal with was the mystery of iniquity. Now, all of us people of holy and righteous, you know, we want about the love of God, the power of God, the strength of God, the glory of God, and all that. But the first thing Paul had to learn was about the mystery of iniquity. I've listed them in chronological order. And you see that the mystery number 2 is really based in mystery number 1. And you move on up the line. That's that foundation of why those things are there. God hides, thank God, to keep careless people from putting the car in the ditch. And He reveals. He does both. But God hides truth. There's a lot of things that God is revealing in this time.
Yes.
That a lot of people will say, now that's not God. Let me give you an example of one of them. A guy named Peter. He thought he was the number one spokesman, and he was on the day of Pentecost. And yet when he got a vision, when he was hungry, on the housetop in the middle of the day, this bold, hot-headed man that was the head big shot on the day of Pentecost was arguing with God Almighty. I thought he was full of the Holy Ghost, sweet Holy Ghost, heavenly Holy Ghost that did things so wonderful and nice. But this man was calling what God had cleansed already common and unclean. This is the work of the Lord. And Peter said, God, that's not like that. That stuff is common. God said, what? I've cleansed what I've already done, like the already finished work. What I've already done, don't you argue with me about it. That upset Peter. Because, well, God, I've never, no bad meat's ever been in my mouth. I'll call it what I want to. It was the essence of what he was saying. Then God lets him go on down to a man's house that was a tanner. You wonder why he would have picked such a man, but you know the Jewish people, Hebrew people, they were not to be around animals, and at death time, and you touch him, you was... But let him go down to his house, and there he did some staying until he gets some help. A couple of men came from another town, from the Gentiles, so they walked 35 miles to get there where Peter was. Peter didn't know that was coming, but the Lord was working on Peter and working on them at the same time, and they all were disconnected except for an angel of the Lord dealing with a Gentile, this man from Italy. Now, I didn't think God was going to bless them. Peter surely didn't think that God was going to bless these people of another kind. But while Peter was waiting around at that tanner's house, something happened that really was different, and the people came up, you're supposed to go with us. But before he went with them, a woman got sick. Now God had just got on to him from accusing him of healing, of calling them not cured, or they're common or unclean. Now God gives him another thing and tells him, now you go over there or tell somebody else, bring this man, I want you to heal this woman. She needs healing from leprosy. And so I imagine Peter felt real good then, because God had just chewed him out. Don't you go, what I've cleansed. That. Now he lets him heal somebody. Oh, glory to God, the happy healing days are back again. Then he got a big deal. He got somebody that was dead, and he raised him from the dead. Don't you know he felt good? He felt excited. God, it had tore me up. I guess God's forgiven, forgot about all that. Now I'm here. Then he walks with him back another 35 miles. That's 70 miles for the men and 35 for Peter. And they go and they get there to the house. And he said, I don't know what I'm just doing here, because I'm not supposed to be here. It's not lawful for me to be in the same house with you all. Peter was still had a mindset. His belief system was under the law. It wasn't under grace. And he was the number one preacher in the Holy Ghost days. But God said, I'll show you something. And God changed his mind. And he did one of those V8 numbers. He says, now I know that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation. Tell you what, we're going to learn about God. You're going to be forced and loved. This is not me talking. I'm having to take this as I get it. You're going to be forced and loved into start taking people and accepting people that you've never accepted before.
Oh,
Lord,
it's good.
Glory to God. What's been hard from you, what you've rejected. Not only you, me, anybody else that I know. The time is upon us. that this rejection business has got to change.
Right.
We've got to bring the world to a place of oneness with God.
Amen.
Oneness with God. By this shall they know. This has got to happen. But for you to change and to go into a position and say, now I know what God's got in order. Peter was got so up wrapped up in it, he didn't take time to go back to Jerusalem immediately. He just knew what it was, and he says, now I know that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation. He changed in a moment. People are going to be changed in a quick moment in a way to accepting people that they haven't accepted.
Right.
Whether in a denomination, maybe they're an atheist, maybe they're a drunkard, maybe they're their son-in-law, mother-in-law, or whoever it is, your boss, you are going to have to change your way of living and loving.
That's right.
You're going to have to take some scriptures maybe that you didn't understand before, and you're going to want to change. I got a lot here I'd like to talk to you about, and I may have 2 minutes left or something like that. But the goodness of our God is tempered with His other things. He knows when to put the pressure on and when to take it off. Because God's a potter.
Yes.
And He makes the clay.
He got it.
And He's got a hand inside the clay and outside the clay at the same time. And He will put the pressure on you where you need it. This hand is inside the pottery and this hand's outside the pottery. One's pushing, one's pulling. Lord, I have to stop. He's pointing fingers at me.
We're supposed to, right there. We're supposed to take a 15-minute break. Can y'all take a 10 instead of that?
Yeah.
Five more minutes. Come on.
Brother Harold, can you share that word again?
Come on.
About forced and love. Exactly what you know.
When they're making pottery, if they want to shape in that pottery, they have to put their hand down and force it back. While they put another hand inside. God is putting His hands in your life, in your character, in your being, in your ways, in your family members, the people you work with. There is a change coming.
Yes.
Be upon you, be in you, be through you. Your children will see it. Your in-laws will see it. You're going to see it. You can say, God, open my eyes that I can see. Open my mind that I can understand what I've never understood before.
Yes, yes.
Then, as Ezekiel wrote 62 times in his book, then they shall know that I'm the Lord. God is determined to show His lordship.
Yes.
And that you're His people and He cares for you. And He's made you in His image for His purpose. But we told Him at first to Moses, He said, for the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth. But when He got over here to a later prophet, He said, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover all the earth. He changed it. There was a broadening. Maybe some scriptures have been your pet scriptures, and you've been holding on them tight some kind of way. God said, wait a minute. I want to show you a new way of looking at that.
Amen.
Yes, yes.
Oh, you'll be telling your partner, said, listen, our God is different. He's just really opened the book.
Yes.
He's opened the book.
Yes.
Can you imagine Jesus would like to open it more? He told them, don't even go away in the way of the Samaritans. But Jesus did. And He went over there and got a woman that had a lot of men. And she said, well, I really don't know about all this, but I do know one thing. When the Messiah's come, He'll tell us all that. The woman had a bad personal record, but she knew something that the disciples didn't even know. I know that when Messiah's come, He'll tell us all things. Peter had to get it by revelation. She had to get it by being told by Jesus. And yet Jesus talked to the people down in the big crowd, and they were filled with evil spirits. And they cried out, Thou Son of God, we know who You are. They were filled with evil spirits. But the spirit world knows the spirit world, and they knew, and they knew who He was. You begin to show. Don't be like John the Apostle. He's called the Apostle of the Beloved. But he said, Jesus, do You want us to call fire down on them like Elijah did? Jesus, you got the wrong spirit.
Mm. Yes.
If you change, what first thing you'd have to do is change your spirit.
Yes.
Let your spirit really be filled with the Holy spirit, the pure spirit, the kind spirit. Be kind one to another. I mean, let this fruit of the Spirit really permeate you once, just completely. It will change your world, change you. Your family is going to say, what's happened to you? You don't have to go tell them a thing, just start living it. And they'll see the difference.